We're doing Sefer Maasiyot, Rav Nissim Gaon's book of stories that are supposed to develop in us an understanding of God's ways and help a person contend with the difficulties of life. And Rav Nissim Gaon had told us that we have to know that everything God does is just, even when things seem to point the other direction. And we had seen a story last time about two good friends that were pious, and when one passed away, no one came to his funeral. And now, Rav Nissim Gaon continues, and so said our great luminary Moshe Rabbeinu, that God is the rock whose actions are whole. And our sages explained this pasuk, and they said, God is, it says, El Emunah, God is faithful, ve'en aved. And there's nothing that God does that is unfair, that is unjust. And Hashem doesn't hold things back from a tzaddik. Even a small mitzvah that he does, he'll get his wages in the world to come. And by the same token, Hashem doesn't withhold the wages of a rasha. Even if he did a small mitzvah, God gives him, pays him back in this world so that he'll end up getting what he deserves in the world to come. And that's what the pasuk says, that God is trustworthy. There's nothing that he doesn't pay back. And just as God doesn't pay back a rasha for all his averos in this world, he waits until he comes to the world to come. By the same token, Hashem says, if a tzaddik erred in something, I'll help him cleanse himself of that in this world, so that when he comes to the next world, he'll be clean of any of his iniquities. And he'll be able to inherit a greater world to come, a life of wages that are much more in the world to come. And one of the kings of the world once asked this pasuk to Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. You know, every time we encounter Rabbi Yeshua in the Mishnah, it's Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya was a very poor blacksmith. He was a big, 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 big Talmud Chacham. And he lived a very long life. And the nations knew that he mastered the verses. And they could ask him questions from Tanakh, and he always had a good answer. So one of the kings once asked him, it says in the Torah, all of God's ways are just. How can you tell me that God's ways are just? We see in our eyes that sometimes God afflicts a person that has no sin. He makes people born and they have afflictions. A person can be born blind, a person can be born crippled, a person can be born deaf, a person can be born mute. He's done nothing wrong. How can you say that God does nothing that's wrong? And Rabbi Yeshua said, there are good people who have these afflictions, and God put them in this world in this fashion so that when they overcome their position, they're going to have more wages in the world to come. And and the people among them who God knew that there are people who will be unfaithful, people who will be bad in this world, bad at least in their belief, so then God, so to speak, crippled them before he created them. And if you want my master, I'll show you what I'm telling you. Give me 1,000 coins and send 2 trustworthy people that you trust with me. So the king gives him 1,000 coins. And these 2 people, who the king believes, like notarizers, they come with him. And they meet a man who's been blind from the time he was born. And Rabbi Yeshua tells this person, I want you to know, the king ordered that I be executed. I want you to do me a favor. I have 1,000 coins. Watch over them for me. And if I make it out alive, give them back to me. And if I end up being executed, I'm giving them to you, they're a gift. So the blind person extends his hand and he takes the coins from him. And these 2 witnesses that the king trusts them, they're looking and they see what's going on. And the blind man leaves, a period of time passes, and Rabbi Yeshua comes to the blind person and he tells him, thank you for your kindness, please give me the money that I entrusted by you. Hashem saved me from the hands of the king, and I'll give you your wages for your work. And the blind man answers him and he says, I swear I don't know who you are. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know a little bit. I don't know a lot. Never happened. You never gave me anything. Me? Who would ever trust me with anything? I'm blind. I'm not the type of person anyone trusts with anything. And Rabbi Yeshua says, you know what? If so, come with me to the king and let him judge between us. So they come to the king and they ask permission to enter the gate. They come in. They come before the king. And Rabbi Yeshua asks him, give me back the money. And the blind man says, I don't know what you're talking about. So the king tells Rabbi Yeshua, prove what you're talking about. So they bring the two people that the king said he trusts them. And the two people give testimony that this blind man accepted the 1,000 coins from Rabbi Yeshua. And the blind man turns to the king and he says, my master, this isn't true. Never happened. He never gave me anything. The king doesn't believe him and he has him hung. They're going to hang him, and a person walked over to the blind man and said to him, you know, I heard your wife, she's been cheating on you, and she told her lover, wait till my blind man dies and then I'll marry you and we'll enjoy these 1,000 coins together, you and I. And when the blind man hears this, he says, let me go, I'll give him back his money. They let him go. He goes and brings the coins. And Rabbi Yeshua says to him, you were willing to try and steal these coins when I had 2 good witnesses to testify against you. What would you have done if I would have given it to you without witnesses? For sure. And undoubtedly, your Creator created you this way in a just fashion because you see you're an evil person. And the king told Rabbi Yeshua, what you've said is true, it's just, I accept what you said, your God is righteous, and everything he's done is fair, there's nothing that he's done that is unfair, he is singular, there's no second. I want to pause. This story should bother us. You read the story, and you say, okay, does this mean that every person that's born with a blemish is an evil person? So let's remember what Rabbi Yeshua said at the very beginning. Rabbi Yeshua said, there are good people who were blemished, and then God gave them this challenge, just like God gives challenges to every person, and they'll get better in the world to come. And there are bad people who are given this challenge, and then those people, God crippled them to limit their ability to harm. God crippled them because he knew what their potential for bad is. And I'll prove it to you. And then he went and showed him a bad person. Till here is more or less what Rav Nissim Gaon said in the story. From here is Netan Alfrengento. So I just want to discern. We shouldn't confuse Rav Nissim Gaon with me. Mm-hmm. Now I'm talking. There's a Me'iri. The Gemara in Sanhedrin discusses that people who have different blemishes, different handicaps, we don't accept their testimony. And the Me'iri says, let's remember, the Me'iri lived about 700 years ago, before modern psychology. You're talking about someone who lived before the invention of psychology. You're talking about a rabbi who lived 700 years ago. Where was the world holding 700 years ago?
Dark Ages.
1300s. What was the greatest philosophers the world hadn't yet realized that the earth revolves around the sun?
They were burned at the stake.
What?
They were burned at the stake in 1500s.
Those were witch hunts.
No, Giordano Bruno, Nicholas Copernicus, and Galileo Galilei, who was not burned.
They weren't burned.
They were burned.
Galileo was under house arrest.
He was. That's what I was wanting to say.
And he was later on, Galileo was not.
No, so Galileo didn't die, but Copernicus and Giordano Bruno, they were like.
Let's get a picture of where the world was holding in the 1300s. Now, what does the Me'iri tell us on the Gemara in Sanhedrin? The Me'iri says, when a person has a handicap, so that person spends his life looking at a world where he sees everyone else better off than he is. If he can't walk, he sees other people walking. If he can't talk, he sees other people talking. If he can't hear, he sees other people communicating. If he can't see, he sees, he's aware that the rest of the world does not have this handicap. The Me'iri says, what develops within a person is a feeling of why do they have what I don't. And that feeling evolves into a feeling of anger towards society. The person who is handicapped, says the Me'iri, will naturally evolve into being a person who is bitter at society. Deep down inside, he looks at society and is upset that other people have it better than he has it. Naturally. Says the Me'iri, that jealousy evolves into cruelty. And there is the ability for cruelty within a person who is handicapped that will naturally develop, that does not exist in a person that is not handicapped. The second a person has to spend his life looking at the world and seeing a world that has it better off than he has it, on something so critical as the ability to speak, to hear, to see, that person can very easily evolve into levels of cruelty that the average person would not evolve to. Says the Me'iri, that is why we do not accept testimony from such a person. We're more wary of what he has to say, because we're aware of the potential for cruelty. In light of this Me'iri, let's come back to Rav Nissim Gaon. The Me'iri taught us that there's an evolvement which can naturally occur in a person that's handicapped towards being a cruel person. Rav Nissim Gaon seems to build it the other direction. Rav Nissim Gaon says you can have good people who are handicapped, and then God gave them their test to contend with in life. And then you could have bad people who got handicapped, so to speak, got handicapped them even before they were created. I feel like this Rav Nissim Gaon doesn't necessarily agree with the Me'iri. Because if he did, I don't see how the two go together. And if we come with the... For those of you that are very bothered with Rav Nissim Gaon, you can hear the Me'iri better. That when a person contends with life, sometimes life itself can make a person rougher. The difficulties of life, and who can judge a person? We might take precautions, but ours is not to judge. This is a story that's always troubled me. Maybe I'm partial. I have a younger brother that's handicapped, so I have partiality. But I think that maybe the Me'iri's approach is an approach that's easier for us to swallow. Who are we to come and call shots between the sages? We're no one. But we should be aware that there is an opinion which I think is a different opinion than Rav Nissim Gaon's. But one can also try and fit what each one's saying into the other one. You could. I don't say they're necessarily mutually exclusive. Yeah?
Yeah, you said that someone who's handicapped, being born handicapped, it's because God punished him for being a bad person already.
I didn't say that. No. Okay, it seems that way. It seems that way for Rav Nissim Gaon.
Doesn't that undermine the point of teshuva that people can change, the punish before the board? Doesn't that sort of undermine teshuva and the chance to do teshuva?
I think your question is very strong. And I think the answer to it on a simple level is that this doesn't undermine his ability to do teshuva. Just because he's handicapped doesn't mean he can't do tshuva. But where the question really should bother us a little bit more is we say that God doesn't decide before a person's created whether he's going to be good or bad. That's not declared before a person is born, right? And here, Rav Nissim Gaon seems to say that God is putting this person in this situation before they're created because of what they will be. How does that work?
Well,
And the truth is that we don't have to take Rav Nissim Gaon to have this question. There's a medrash that says that when Moshe Rabbeinu was looking at Jewish children being put into the mortar, he said, God, how can you do this? And God said, I'm telling you, you're better off, it's better for them and better for the Jewish people that these children don't live to a ripe old age. And if you want, take one out and you'll see what will happen with him. And we've discussed the medrash, what happened with that one, how many times throughout our history that person caused us the greatest downfalls, from the Egel to Pesel Micha. How does that work? Where's this free choice if God is telling us in advance? So, if you guys want, on Thursday night, we could try and discuss that.